Greetings to the brightest audience in the nation. I am not Bob Enyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church and America's most popular self-proclaimed right-wing religious fanatic, homophobic, anti-choice talk show host. I am instead Doug McBurney, second string, sitting in for Bob because Bob has been called away on an emergency. And I just realized I do not have a bottle of water, which I always have. When I do a show, I always have a bottle of water. Now, I have no bottle of water. And so... And you know what? This reminds me of something. This reminds me of something. This is probably going to date me. Oh, an apple juice? Oh, that'd be awesome. They're going to slip the apple juice through the soundproof barrier in order so that I can keep my pipes oiled here for the show. That's awesome. Now, do you folks remember a time? Now, my board op, he will not remember a time, but the office manager who's sitting just behind him will remember a time. There was a time in America when we left our house all day with no phone and no bottle of water. And we did that every day, right? You remember that? Okay, so you younger folks, you don't remember ever leaving the house without a phone and a bottle of water. But we used to do it all the time. And we got a lot of stuff done. I mean, we built this country without a phone or a bottle of water. We went out. Anyway, thank you for the apple juice. I'm going to take a drink and I'm going to break a... This is a breaking a broadcast rule. Oh, yeah, refreshing. It's Minute Maid apple juice. They don't even advertise on the show, but that was a product placement deal we had going there. All right, so Bob is away on an emergency, so I'm filling in at the last minute with virtually no notice whatsoever, and this is just a lesson to all of you young folks who want to do radio. If you think you can do radio, you probably can. It's not nearly as hard as you think. You just sit down and you just talk about stuff. Now, I've got a couple of news stories here, but I want to start. I want to start by elaborating on my take on Ecclesiastes from my show yesterday. By the way, you can listen to my show. It's only on the internet. It's called The Weekly Worldview. And I did a show yesterday where I mentioned the fact that over at the McBurney compound, we're reading the Bible. As we quite often do, we read the Bible quite often, almost every day. And so we're reading Ecclesiastes. And Ecclesiastes, I said on my show yesterday, this is a very deep and brilliant point, by the way, is that if you read Ecclesiastes, you will find good, solid, philosophical, intelligent, and biblical and beneficial information, and then there's also crazy stuff and stupid stuff in Ecclesiastes. And so reading Ecclesiastes is a good barometer of how well you understand the Bible and how well you know God. If you can separate out Solomon's crazy, stupid crackpot statements from his biblically accurate and beneficial statements. And so now I have to go to Ecclesiastes right now in my Bible. So bear with me just one moment. Because Ecclesiastes is it's not one of these, it's not an easy to find book. It's kind of toward the middle of the end of the Old Testament. So it's, but anyway, where were we yesterday here? Ecclesiastes. Oh, yeah. So here it is Ecclesiastes chapter 5 is like almost all good, solid stuff. But then you get to the end and he's just a moron. And you're just like, what's this guy thinking about? So anyway, toward the end, he says, here is what I have seen. This is Solomon, by the way, writing in Ecclesiastes chapter 5. Warning, 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 Will Robinson, there are Bible verses up ahead. For those in the audience who advocate pluralism and diversity, we know here at Bob Enyart Live that you would like to censor anyone who would ever dare quote a Bible verse in public. So this warning gives you fair notice that raw, unadulterated truth is about to be uttered. Well, some raw, unadulterated truth, and then some other crazy crackpot stuff that Solomon came up with. And so anyway, he says, here's what Solomon says. So first he starts out, he says, There is a severe evil which I have seen under the sun. Riches kept for their owner to his hurt. But those riches perish through misfortune. When he begets a son, there is nothing in his hand. As he came from his mother's womb, naked shall he return. And you're thinking, now that's solid stuff. A rich guy shouldn't let his riches be like the only thing he cares about in his life. Because at the end of the day, you're going to leave here with nothing, just the way you came. But then Solomon goes on, he says, and this also is a severe evil. Just exactly as he came, so shall he go. And what profit has he who has labored for the wind? All his days he also eats in darkness, and he has much sorrow and sickness and anger. Here is what I have seen, says Solomon. It is good and fitting for one to eat and drink and enjoy the good of all his labor in which he toils under the sun all the days of his life, which God gives him, for it is his heritage. So and that's just not right. Your riches are not your heritage. It's your family and your relationships and all the people you meet and the things you do and the influence you have. So anyway, Solomon is just all over the board. But anyway, check out Ecclesiastes. I encourage it. It's a great book to, like I say, kind of gauge where you are in your, well, how well you know the author of the whole Bible can kind of be viewed through Ecclesiastes, how well you understand all that. All right. Now, meantime, do we want to do any news of the day? Here, let's check the news of the day and see what's happening in the world. And we'll see if there's anything worth commenting on. Because I've found generally I have a harder and harder time getting interested in the news. Because it's, right now I go and I check the Drudge Report and it's all about the Golden Globes, the Golden Globe nominations and the impeachment of the president. Two topics that I could not care less about either one of those topics. And so there, and that's what's all over. So anyway, I read an article a couple of weeks ago about alternative conservative news aggregation sites that have been their traffic has been on the rise since Drudge made his hard turn against President Trump. Drudge is like anti-Trump now. And so this news article listed like five different sites that people are now going to because they're mad at Matt Drudge because he doesn't seem to like Trump anymore. So I went to all of these sites. And anyway, I'm back to just checking the Drudge Report because, I mean, the guy's better at it than anybody else. And he links to InfoWars less than all these other sites. And then there's some other really crackpot, whacked out sites that these other sites link to. So I'm back to just, I check the Drudge Report, I check Breitbart, and I check CNN, believe it or not. And that's it. That's all I check. All of these other right-wing sites, alleged right-wing sites. Did you see this? Did you know there were a bunch of tourists were touring a volcano? Did you hear about this? First of all, if I'm invited to go tour a volcano, I'm going to say, well, I don't think so. It just doesn't sound, oh, it's an active volcano. Okay. Well, maybe if it hasn't erupted in the last 1,000 years, I might be persuaded to go look at it. But an active volcano, I just don't think it's a good idea. So there was a tour of an active volcano out in New Zealand. And the volcano erupted. And so far, at least 5 of the tourists are dead because, well, just walking around on a volcano is not a very good idea. And so it blew up. And now at least 5 people are dead. So so as I look at the news of the day, that's really the only story that catches my eye because the rest of it is it's just the same old stuff, and I'm just tired of it. Just so tired of the same old stuff, you know? But let's go to China, where China is definitely the dominant force in the world right now. How do I know that? Well, listen to this. The British version of Gentleman's Quarterly magazine, they publish an annual list of the best-dressed men in the world. And then they also have the worst dressed, and they list the top 10 best and the top 10 worst. Well, this year, Boris Johnson was the worst dressed man in the world, which I cannot argue with that. You could put a $5,000 suit on that guy, and he looks like he just rolled out of bed with a hangover all the time. How does this guy end up in charge of England? I mean, that's just a sign of how bad it's going for England, that Boris Johnson. But anyway, so they named him the worst, and then Mark Zuckerberg made the list, Yeah, that sounds about right. And President Donald Trump was on the list of the 10 worst dressed men in the world. And I disagree with that. I think Trump's a fine dresser. That's one of the few things that I wouldn't have qualms with Donald Trump on is his outfit. I think he does all right. He wears the really long tie, and I've always liked that. That's where I'm at. It makes you look thinner, you see. So anyway, they had also on the top 10 worst dressed men in the world this year at the British version, the online British version of Gentleman's Quarterly magazine. Well, it was President Xi Jinping of China. He was on there. And the king of Thailand, whose name, there's no way I can pronounce this, Maha Vajiralongkorn. I think I nailed it. Vajiralongkorn. Okay. So this name is spelled V-A-J-I-R-A, Vajira, Long, L-O-N-G, Korn, K-O-R-N, Longkorn. Okay. Well, anyway, after GQ put this up there that these two guys were two of the worst dressed people in the world, they then edited and removed Xi Jinping and the guy from Thailand. They removed them because China is the dominant market in the world, and they didn't want to offend China, number one. And I think they just didn't want this king in Thailand to just start murdering people because they had named him worst dressed. I have no idea why they removed the king of Thailand, and I've never seen him dress. Don't know what he dresses in. But I would assume that the people at GQ are good at identifying well-dressed and poorly dressed people. And I trust their judgment generally in that area. But they removed Xi Jinping because they're kowtowing to the Chinese. Yeah. GQ was asked, why did you remove Xi Jinping from the list? And GQ wrote, no, I'm sorry. GQ put as the caption to the picture of the horribly dressed Xi Jinping. Xi Jinping does something between Mao Zedong and Donald Trump. It's somewhere in there. It looks horrible. Plus, he needs to lose like 30 pounds, which you don't see a lot of Chinese guys that much overweight, you know, unless they're high up in the Communist Party. So the caption under the photo of the horribly dressed Xi Jinping. Here's what GQ wrote. They said, it is not Hong Kong's courageous freedom fighters that Xi Jinping should have a problem with. It's his tailor. And then they compare him to Mao Zedong, which is very good stuff. I mean, that's almost journalism for crying out loud. It's at least editorial and well done. But then as soon as something went up about Hong Kong and Xi Jinping, for whatever reason, everybody gets scared and they censor themselves. And I seriously think that this is symptomatic of the fact that the so-called Western democracies are so dramatically in decline that China actually holds more sway over the opinion of the whole world than we do anymore. And it's just it's kind of embarrassing. That's all. Let's see. Condé Nast spokesperson, I guess that's the publisher of the Gentleman's Quarterly. The Condé Nast spokesperson, not to be gender specific, it's a spokesperson. Could have been a boy, could have been a girl. Could have been a boy who identifies as a girl. Could have been a girl who identifies as a girl who identifies as a boy. It could have been any of those. Their spokesperson said that, yes, the world leaders had been scrubbed from the worst dressed list over concerns that it would travel globally and grant traction without necessary context. So I have no idea what that even means, that it would travel globally and grant traction without necessary context. What do you mean without necessary context? You got a picture of the guy dressed and he looks like a slob. And then under it, you say he shouldn't be upset with Hong Kong's courageous freedom fighters. He should have a problem with his tailor. What more context do you need? That was well done. Anyway, the bottom line is Condé Nast is afraid of China because they don't want their market share threatened. They're just like the NBA and, just about anyone else who does business in China. You should all be ashamed of yourselves. I try not to buy anything from China. I do my best. It's hard. There's some things you can't get made in America or made anywhere outside of China. There are some things. But I try to do as much as I can to not do any business with China. Now, look at this. I go to the Drudge Report. I give him credit for not linking to InfoWars as much as all the other crackpot right-wing sites. And right in the middle is a picture of an InfoWars reporter getting kicked out of the Judiciary Committee for standing up and, I don't know, standing up and protesting. All right. Well, thanks a lot, Matt. I'm gonna turn off the internet. There. It's gone. Now it's just you and I. That's right. I'm just going without a net, so to speak. So we finished with Gentleman's Quarterly. Let's go now to my justice file, where a German murderer, this according to the BBC, a German murderer has won the right to be forgotten. The right to be forgotten. So when I saw the headline, I thought, you know, this is kind of biblical because God says that certain evil people, he's going to blot their name out. Like, as if they never even existed, they'll be forgotten and blotted out of history. But that's not what this is. This is the antithesis of that. First of all, we have a man convicted of murder in 1982 who's not dead or in prison. So that's the first problem right there. He was sentenced to life for murdering two people in 1982. And if you've listened to me over the years, you know what life in prison means. That means there's a good chance you'll get out someday. There's a pretty good chance you'll get out someday. And he did. He was released in 2002. And he now said, now when you search online about him, the unfortunate incident keeps coming up, right? It was in the news that he killed these two people and was convicted of murder. And so he wants the internet to be scrubbed of all the facts of what he did. And so he took the case to court is what I meant to say. That's right. Hey, kids, doing radio might not be as easy as you think it is. All right. Now, he took the case to court because apparently in 1999, the German magazine Der Spiegel uploaded three reports on this murderer from 1982 and 1983. And the reports included the man's full name. As you can well imagine, if you're going to report on who the murderer was, you might use his full name. That's called journalism. That's what they used to do. So the articles that were uploaded in 1999 at Der Spiegel can still be found with a simple Google search. And so the man, he found out about the articles when people were Googling him and then calling him and saying, wow, did you murder these people? What's up with that? And so now he requested that these articles be scrubbed from the internet, and he claimed in his court case that the posting of the fact that he was a murderer violated his rights, and his ability to develop his personality was that's the actual line his lawyers used, that the fact that he murdered two people and was convicted was harming his ability to develop his personality. Well, the federal court in Germany initially threw the case out, which it should have all just ended right there. It all should have really ended with his execution shortly after his conviction. But we're not going to go there because we know this is... the constitutional court there in Germany has overturned the decision of the federal court, and the case is now heading back to the federal court. So he can win his right to have his murder conviction forgotten. So according to this article, the issue of the right to be forgotten is a controversial one. There's court cases going on right now between the European Union and Google. Because, well, apparently people are upset that the truth is available forever. They don't like that. Well, the truth should be available to everyone at all times. And if you're a murderer and it made the news, well, that's the facts. That's the way it is. But He's basically asking the court for the right to alter reality. And the court is actually considering that, that they might let him do that, which is pretty bizarre. Because no matter what, what's real is real. That's all. And so you can't make a side deal with a court to blot out reality because it's still real. Anyway, we'll see this guy on Judgment Day when he will be reminded of the fact that he murdered two people in 1982 and that he deserved the death penalty. So we'll square all this away on Judgment Day. Until then, things could get pretty crazy, though. I mean, people are losing their minds. That's just crazy. Now, speaking of all that, let me take another sip of this apple juice. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. That's good stuff. All right. I have a report from the Baltimore Sun about, the headline says, judge exonerates three men in the 1983 Georgetown jacket school killing. Now, many of you don't remember that. But if you remember back to the days when we used to leave our house without a phone or a bottle of water all day, then you might remember the Georgetown jacket school killing. This is one of the very first school shootings, and it was quite a sensational case. I was in high school at the time, and the story was that three students murdered another student in order to steal his Georgetown basketball jacket. And this story, by the way, shocked the whole nation. One kid was killed, and everything stopped for a few minutes as everyone was just shocked by it. Now, if one student is shot at a high school, it might make the local news for, like, the morning, and then that would be it. So that's where we've come since 1983. But 36 years ago, DeWitt Duckett, a ninth grader at Harlem Park Junior High School, was shot in the neck inside the West Baltimore school. Police said that the 14-year-old was jumped by three other youths and was killed for his blue Georgetown jacket. School officials called his death the first homicide in a Baltimore public school, and his killing touched off a debate over school safety. Yeah. So there was a debate over school safety in 1983. How well did that go? I don't think it went all that well. But anyway, let's move on. So three 16-year-olds were charged with the murder and were eventually convicted on the testimony of other students who identified them as the killers. Well, Baltimore State's Attorney Marilyn Mosby. Y'all remember Marilyn Mosby? You remember her? She's the pit bull with the frothing at the mouth over the Freddie Gray case. You remember her? Anyway, go back and Google it and take a look at her. Tell me she doesn't look like a pit bull. She actually looks like a pit bull, and she acts like one, too. She's a radical frothing at the mouth leftist who hates criminal justice. She hates the concept of justice. She hates the concept of punishment. And she is the state's attorney in Baltimore. So the asylum is being run by the inmates, and she's one of the chiefs among them. So anyway, she says that detectives and prosecutors back in 1983 coached and coerced the testimony of the witnesses. And her prosecutors appeared in court last week to ask a judge to throw out the three convictions. Let's see here. Do I have anything else? The three men became the latest prisoners exonerated and set free. Okay, so here's the thing. As I read this story, it doesn't sound like these men were exonerated by the facts that some new information came that proved. To be exonerated means you've been convicted, but then some evidence comes along that actually proves you were innocent. That's what it means to be exonerated. Well, that's not what happened here. It's just that pit bull Marilyn Mosby went into court and challenged a case that's some 36 years old, and the waters were muddied enough that these guys got out. And the thing is, this is happening all the time, and it's not just Marilyn Mosby. By the way, she has a deal going. The Baltimore Sun reports that these three men became the latest prisoners exonerated, we'll put that in quotation marks, and set free by a partnership between Marilyn Mosby's Conviction Integrity Unit and two nonprofit Innocence Projects. That's the Barry Sheck and Jive, you know, the Innocence Project. Innocence in quotation marks. That's where Barry Sheck goes into court and Shecks and Jives until he gets some murderer let off on some muddy Who knows what it is? But they're not facts. They're not facts that came along and changed the case. Nobody's actually exonerated. It's just that the people running the justice system have now taken that final turn round the bend, and they actually hate justice. They hate it. And they are actively, malevolently working against justice. Right? It used to be that the liberals just wanted to turn a blind eye. Right? And just let people get away. But not anymore. Now now they are actively working against the concept of justice. And they're not even doing it in secret. They're doing it in broad daylight in front of God and everybody. Right in front of our faces. In fact, if we go, I've got a list here. And so, listen, I'm just going to give you this list. And let's make a date, right? We'll make this, we'll call it, we'll have an event, okay? We'll have a get-together. On Judgment Day, let's get together and go through this list with God and find out how many of these guys were actually guilty, okay? These are the people. Back in May, Pitbull, Baltimore State's attorney, Marilyn Mosby, allegedly exonerated Kenneth McPherson and Eric Simmons, who had been serving life terms for a 1994 murder. Investigators, listen to this. Investigators found new evidence that they said confirmed the brothers' alibis. So this case is over 20 years old, and now you're going to tell me there's some new fact? Okay, you know what? That's just a little too cryptic and muddy and cloudy for me. So I don't buy it. Okay, I'm not believing this. That Kenneth McPherson and Eric Simmons, I'm not buying the fact that they've been exonerated. Last December, Clarence Shipley Jr., walked out of prison a free man. He had spent 27 years in prison for a wrongful murder conviction. He, too, had been convicted on faulty witness testimony. Okay, how do I know that? How do I know it was faulty? You're going to come back 20, 30 years later, and now you're going to challenge the witness testimony, and nobody can even remember what happened. Half the people are dead, for crying out loud. But these Sheck and Jive lawyers and Marilyn Mosby, they just want to muddy things up enough so that they can get murderers off. And I'm not sure why it is that they're obsessed with setting murderers free. I don't understand that. Well, maybe I do understand it, and I'll have to get into it later. In July, Jerome Johnson, who was allegedly wrongly convicted of murder in Park Heights and spent 30 years behind bars, they got him out. Lamar Johnson, murder, September 2017, after he served 13 years. He had been misidentified as having the nickname of the shooter. How do I know that's true? I don't know any of that's true. I don't buy any of these. Malcolm Bryant, convicted of murder, was released in May of 2016. DNA evidence. What is the DNA evidence? Well, I don't know. I don't even know what the DNA evidence was. I don't even know. I might buy one out of the 5 or 6 here. Maybe if there was actual DNA that actually proved. Anyway, we have arrived at a place where the people manning the criminal justice infrastructure have turned actively against law enforcement and against justice in general. That's where we are, and that's where Bob Enyart warned us 30 years ago that we would go if we didn't get things under control and repent and turn back toward God, which is what I suggest all these people do. And if you haven't done it, I suggest it for you too. Bob Enyart will be back tomorrow. And until then, I hope you all do right and risk the consequences.